Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to you, Parkcast Park fans. We're your weekly theme park podcast, and we love chatting about everything that's going on in theme parks, in the UK mainly, but also overseas sometimes as well. I'm Vex, this is Kev.
Hi, everyone.
And we're doing an episode today which we've ummed and erred about doing. Do we do it or not? Do we talk about it or not? We have done a similar episode, I think, last year. It might have been about 18 months ago now. But yeah, we came to the conclusion that we couldn't not talk about it. And that is the current state of Alton Towers. And we kind of came to the conclusion that we really needed to talk about it. Well, I thought we really needed to talk about it because Kev has even got to the point where he's like, I don't know how to feel about this place anymore. And if you don't know, Kev is like the biggest Alton Towers fan. You've been going since you were how old?
8 years old. Back to 1994.
Yeah, well, yeah, the big year for it, yeah.
Yeah.
You live about 15 minutes away from it.
Yeah,
You've got annual passes. You've had annual passes forever.
Yeah,
all the time. You've got three children. You've brought them up there as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And through all the, you know, peaks and troughs that Alton Towers has had over the years, you've always remained positive. And even last year when we were talking about Alton Towers, and, you know, I am much more pessimistic about the park than you generally. You still, you know, you find the positives. You're like,
it's still
a special place, and it's still the place that you love going. Mm-hmm. And as the season kicked in this year, I started getting texts from you saying, I don't know how to feel about this anymore. And I thought, okay, if Kev is faltering, we need to talk about it. It's
like the I would have arguments with people at school as well. If anyone anyone dissed Alton Towers or anyone said anything negative, I'd be like, I would really stand up for it.
Yeah.
So it does show. And I feel like we've had this discussion before, haven't we? Always try to see the positive, and I will always try and fight its corner. But something feels different this year.
From the start of the season, do you think? I said, you've got a season pass. You did go on. Did you go up to the half term event or not?
So we're up at half term, which was really busy. And then opening day, even though I said I will not do it. And then I went again 5 days later, and then in Easter. And I keep trying to see if we can find something. And there is, because I'm not having a thing against the park itself.
Yeah.
Because I'll go through Wicker Man and still love it.
Yeah.
It runs great. You know, what they did with Nemesis looks great. Even Curse Art Manor is running really well. If there's a positive, they've worked really hard at keeping that thing running with all the effects running. Even the lighting has been updated. And so there are positives with the park. I think, for me, it's more it's how it's being run at the minute.
Okay.
I don't know if you will have seen that when you've been.
Yeah, I mean, where do I start? I think I felt this way before you have, because I don't have such a close connection. I've been going like you since the early 90s, but I've never lived close to it. So it's always been somewhere that I've gone a couple to a few times a year rather than, you know, several times a month maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always I've got that kind of separation, and I've seen things that I like and I don't like. And really over the last couple of years, I've started feeling like, as a paying guest, because I don't have an annual pass, I've come away feeling a bit ripped off on more times than not when I visited. I've had some good times and I've had some good, great days at the park, but I've also had more negatives. So that's when I started to feel it. I think even me and you, we went last year to go on a day where we were like, well, it'll be a nice quiet day, so we'll go and we'll like get some content and stuff like that. I think it was May. Was it May or April?
It was just before Easter holidays. I thought was before Easter holidays, but wasn't for some people.
And there was a load of school trips randomly, and the park just, it couldn't cope with a randomly busy day midweek. So things were on one train, there weren't enough staff, and everything just kind of ground to a halt. And it was like, oh, there we go. Here's a day that we thought would be a great day. We're going to go and do some really positive content about the park. And we walked away going, well, that was a bit of a nightmare, actually. So, I mean, I've felt that way about the park for a while. I've only been at once this season, which we will talk about, and that didn't particularly change my opinion on that. But what is it that you think has kind of tipped you over the edge. Maybe let's put the February half-term event to one side, because that's kind of an anomaly in itself. But we'll go to opening day. And obviously, before opening day even arrived, we knew there was going to be closures.
I think the closures staggered opening times. And there's, you know, been a lot of changes to how they've obviously been operating, getting people into the park. So before, you could go in at 9 and go wait in line for something, but it's now 9:30. So they obviously changed
that. Did that cause you an issue? Were you there around that time?
Yeah, so it was already really busy. So it doesn't feel organised, but didn't feel organised, sorry. But the main thing for me was seeing that the monorail was not operating.
Yeah.
Skyride, not operating.
And I mentioned this on some of my posts on social media, and before it happened, I was like, right, Alton Towers have just let us know Skyride's not going to run, which we'll come to. But the monorail wasn't going to run, which we talked about, I think, last year, that there was a big rumour it needed a refurb. But it hadn't been mentioned again since, until literally a couple of days before opening, when it was on the ride availability page as unavailable. And I said, this isn't great, actually, for Alton Towers to have both transport rides down at one point. And I got, most people agreed, but I did get some people saying, what's the big deal with walking from the car park? So what's your take on that?
I have 3 children. If it's me on my own, I can walk it even like 50, still 15 minutes, even if I walk quickly. I always walk quickly at theme park. I don't know why. My wife gets really annoyed with me because I always walk really quickly.
It's the excitement.
It is. But like, my youngest is 4. We don't use the pushchair anymore. So that poses a challenge. I don't have a platinum pass, and I don't stay in the hotel because of where we live. So I can't go through the Galactica entrance, but then would I with my kids? Because they're going to want to go to the family areas. Forbidden Valley, at the moment, doesn't have any family rides anymore.
Nothing at all. You get no family rides right now until you literally get to Mutiny Bay. Because
which then leads into Katanga Canyon.
Yeah.
So the mine train is also down for essential maintenance. They're not going to open the water rides until May.
Yeah.
So you've got Katanga Canyon that currently has 2 family attractions that aren't operating.
Yeah.
So it is more a case of, well, where do all the families go? Well, they're going to go to CBeebies Land, but that means you have to get the monorail to get there quicker, but you can't now. So you're going to have to go on a bus, shuttle bus. So already what you've got on opening kind of day is this idea of negativity right in your face. There's nothing positive or exciting from the moment you get there anymore. Already, people are looking at going, so your transportations aren't open. Why haven't you done it over closed season? You have a whole closed season to fix any issues, pay for any issues. Why are the park not paying for essential maintenance on transport that gets you from the car park to the entrance? And I mentioned this on a previous one we did, where I talked about the fact that on the website, it will mention about the distance from the car parks to the entrance. So no wonder they're pushing the fact that your priority parking is 2 to 3 minutes walk.
Yeah.
And they make a big thing about that, because what they'll want you to do is to pay for that and make you very aware it's a 15 to 20 minute walk from the car park. So again, for me, that's a negative thing. That's not suggesting anything that's positive other than you're going to have to walk, or why don't you pay the 20 odd quid, whatever it is, to priority park?
Yeah, it starts your day off on, like, quite literally the wrong foot, doesn't it? And I think if you don't have children, or you don't have maybe mobility issues, you maybe don't appreciate how much of a pain that walk is. And it is a pain, especially when you've got children who are, you know, too old for a buggy, like you say, but they're not teenagers. Mm-hmm. It is a long walk for them. And I think the main issue is that, okay, if just the monorail down, but the Skyride was working, once you're in the park, then it's not so bad. But when you know that monorail's not going to work, and then all day you have to walk to each area of the park because the Skyride isn't working, I'm calculating in my head how many steps we're going to do that day. And I'm looking at my 4-year-old and her little legs and going, how are we going to navigate this? Like, this is going to be hard work for us today. You know, clearly the monorail needs some maintenance. Why it can't be done over closed season, I don't know. That'd be great to know, if anyone who's listening could fill us in on that. But to have them both down, it's like salt in the wound. And I don't understand why the Skyride, which was closed for two seasons, which had this multi-million pound refurbishment to protect it and give it us for the future, which we all kind of said, it's a pain, but if it means we've got it in the future, then great news. Mm-hmm. How is it down again already? That's
just... And it looks like it just can't be bothered. And that's from what it looks like. It might be, like you say, there obviously must be reasons that we don't see that financially they're trying to juggle. But it doesn't look great. And it doesn't look great for them, because ultimately people are going to be like, well, hang on, why is there scaffolding around it still?
Yeah.
Because it was closed for 2 years. Why is it, get there on opening day and there's still scaffolding all around it? Is it this thing like they're doing with the Rapids and with like Battle Galleons, where it's like, we're only going to open it for the summer months?
Run it just at certain times, to reduce wear. I wish if that was the case that it was just communicated. That's what, when we've mentioned this on the podcast before, where's the communication to just say, we know this isn't great, this is what's happening, and this is when you can expect it to be better. They don't owe us full backstories about every decision they make or anything like that. But I think when it's something that materially affects you as a guest, just a little bit of, hey, just so you know, this is what's going on. It helps a little bit. And what struck me when I was there, and I also managed to get a shuttle bus, which is not the easiest thing to get. I was sat on that bus surrounded by non-enthusiasts who were shocked that the monorail wasn't working. They'd arrived at the park and they had no idea. And to us, we know it because we feed ourselves with this information about the park all the time. But these regular guests, as far as they were concerned, had no prior communication that the monorail wasn't going to work. And they were not happy. And these are not enthusiasts, and these aren't people who like complain about on towers or anything like that. They're just regular paying guests who thought it was a really bad look that the monorail wasn't working. And then we were crammed on this shuttle bus, which, by the way, only runs for about an hour and a half in the morning and an hour and a half in the afternoon. It doesn't run all day. So, hey, if you want to leave the park at 2 o'clock, you are walking. There's no option there. It's not like the monorail, which would run all day.
It just frustrates me. But it's like Mine Train is down. And where do the families go? This is my other point.
I don't think it's great for young families at the moment.
Your Mine Train doesn't work. You're not going to open your Rapids till May. You're not going to open Battle Galleons till May. Now, we've joked about Battle Galleons before.
No one likes Battle Galleons.
No one likes it. But it takes in people into the queue.
Yeah.
So not everyone is of a CBeebies land age.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll go to Curse Old Manor. Oh, no, that doesn't open till 11.
Yeah.
Why don't we go to World of David Williams? Oh, no, that doesn't open till 11.
Yeah.
Okay. So other than two rides in Mutiny Bay and CBeebies Land, Hex does open at 10, but that's it.
Yeah.
That's literally what you've got until 11 o'clock.
And that is then if those staggered rides do actually open, which, hey, let's stick our fingers in the air. is Curse Old Manor going to open today? Or maybe not. It's so random. It's the randomness of it for me that you can't even rely on a staggered opening time. You can't rely on the ride opening.
No. I mean, Oblivion wasn't open for a while because that was closed for quite a bit.
Did you see the rumours that people were starting about?
Hole is falling in.
I did have to laugh.
I'm not sure about that.
The whole ride's caving in, but you can still go and walk around the hole.
Yes,
which is,
you can still, you know, don't worry. Sinkhole and X-Sector, but we can get around it.
It's just underground. You don't need to worry about it. Let that be a lesson to anyone. Don't take anything you read online seriously.
I know. Well, at least they've gone back on this. They've started opening all the coasters at 10.
Was another opening day surprise. Because it was Alton After Dark, they staggered even the big coaster openings, which was unheard of before. So a lot of people again get into the park hoping to go and ride Brita first thing, and it wasn't open. And as we mentioned, you have the annoyance, the Sky Ride's not working, so you can't just take a quick hop over to Forbidden Valley.
Yeah,
that wasn't an option. You've got a long walk in front of you. And again, it's opening day. It didn't look great. I think it set the season off on a bad tone, because we as enthusiasts can look and say, okay, opening day is sometimes a bit of a dodgy day to go because, you know, everyone's getting up to speed. It should not be that way, by the way. You've paid a full price to go to a theme park. Yep. It should operate the same on opening day as it does any other day of the year. But we know from history and bad experiences that it doesn't always go that way on opening day.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, you don't expect these last minute calls of like, oh, yeah, by the way, you're not going to be able to ride that till later.
I just don't understand how everything isn't ready. I understand, because I know someone mentioned this, about staff. You might have new staff, which means they're still learning. But you'd still expect there to be a level where on opening day, everything, it should be exciting. There should be, everything should be ready to go. And people going into the park excited, not trying to find a ride that's open, or already having to stand in a line that's going to be an hour for Wicker Man straight away because nothing else is open yet.
When we spoke to Francis Jackson, he did mention a little bit about why you would stagger openings and, you know, and how staffing could often take till Easter to kind of get into a rhythm of things. But yeah, it is hard when you've paid to be there or you've made the trip to go there to still have that experience. The other thing which obviously compounded opening day for them was the storm warning, which meant that every outside ride had to shut. Mm-hmm. And I guess you were still there at that point. And I think what compounds that, obviously, that's not their fault at all. You can't, if there's a storm warning, there's a storm warning. If they've got ride limits and they're outside of them, they have to close it. You just notice, I think, how little there is to do indoors when that happens. That not even just indoor rides, but entertainment or shows. You know, even in the world of David Walliams, where you used to have that Ice Age 4D thing.
Yeah,
you know, it's just there. And the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory Toyland Tours, whatever you want to call it, it was there and now it's not. And you notice when you have these storm warnings and everything outside has to close, people looking around going, well, what do we do now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're absolutely right. Where's the entertainment? Again, it's a costing thing. We know last year they got rid of the whole entertainment team. We're going to do it differently. But there's nothing else that people can actually go to minimize if things are down.
No.
But you mentioned Ice Age, and I was going to mention the fact of where are all the filler rides?
Yeah.
Where are all the attractions? We got Toxicator last year, which was great, but we lost the Blade. Where we struggled to keep these smaller attractions and smaller rides to help absorb queues. So obviously it doesn't help as well that Mine Train isn't working and Rapids isn't open.
Yeah.
But we had, think back to when it was Cloud Cuckoo Land and we had Ice Age, which was the 4D cinema. We've got a theatre that sat there in the world of David Walliams, not doing anything.
Yeah.
And obviously you had like the swings.
Twirling toadstools.
You know, twirling toadstools, swings. And so the Enterprise, when Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was there, and yeah, Submission, you had a lot of filler rides. Yes, the Retro Squad didn't fit at Towers. We can all admit that it didn't quite fit, but at least they were brought in for a purpose. And I think it was Francis Jackson, wasn't it, who mentioned that they were brought in simply to kind of, there's a problem here.
Yeah.
Like if Oblivion is down, everyone goes to Smiler. Where if Smiler's down, everyone goes to Oblivion because it's the only ride that's closest. Whereas before in Exit, like you say, you had Submission, you had Enterprise.
Yeah.
You had flat rides that were going to take in the queues, and people were going to, find other attractions nearby.
Yeah.
But the Dungeons was a mistake because that was a paid thing. So people aren't going to just do that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You think about, major theme parks around the world and how many of them don't have like an indoor boat ride. Like it's just, it's something that you have because it's a people eater and it's an all weather attraction. And I can't believe that ride system has been just left there. Well, I can believe it. And that's the sad thing about it. And there is absolutely no talk at all about that coming back to life anytime soon.
Other than Scarefest, when it's just going to be like a.
But yeah.
That's it. That's all
Yeah.
it's being used for at the minute.
Exactly. It's not even on the cards as a replacement. So I guess on this opening day, you've taken your family up there and all this is happening. At what point did you go, we're not doing this today?
Just once I think the queues become unbearable. I mean, it was we nice walk around.
I mean, you can do that
It's
around
bad,
Hanley
isn't
Park,
it?
can't you?
Like, you know, I mean, towards the end of the day, Blue was about 75 minutes, and my nephew was there as well, and he managed to get on too. And he always jokes, "Oh, I'm never going to queue more than 10 minutes for something." but 75 minutes, so he managed to get on that. We kind of we just said we stuck around for a bit, but yeah, it was. I think when the queues get unbearable,
Yeah.
when everything's about an hour,
Yeah.
there's just what else? What else can you do?
So did you leave the
You know,
park that day going,
I
yeah,
miss. I
the
think I. When did I say? Because I think I said. I think there was a got to a point where I was just. It was just too much later on in the afternoon, really.
Yeah.
Because I kept. You just keep trying, but more things go down and.
Yeah.
And there was,
Yeah.
and this sounds so silly as well. So we can keep this in or not. But merchandise, there was no new merchandise really as
I
well.
saw that. I did notice
There
that.
was
Yeah.
like, I'm always interested in seeing what's new and, I like collecting the pin badges,
Yeah.
but there was nothing new. It was like,
Yeah.
there was like nothing ready. It just felt like there was literally just very unorganized, but that has carried on, Bex. This is the thing. This isn't just, okay, it was just an opening day thing because
Yeah.
again, I would be saying, look, okay, it was opening day. Operations are good, great now. Everything's open at 10. They've decided they've gone, back on these things, but they haven't. Things aren't working still. Things aren't still open.
So you went back 5 days later, didn't you? Just to give it another shot. Was it just a bad day and you went back and still
Well,
was it?
when rides are opening one station and or one side of the station, so Galactica is
Mm.
only running one side and maybe two trains. Oblivion wasn't open again, but I know even recently they still only seem to open one the first part of that station, not both sides where
Yeah.
they've got two shuttles going through.
Yeah.
They're only going one at a time. So the problem is things aren't running at capacity. So they're not running things at capacity. There's not enough staff either. So when I was on Nemesis, normally you'd have about four people, two on each side, doing the checks. There was only two on the day when on that day I was there. So already the queue is backing up because of staff. They've obviously got issues with staffing on certain rides. They're only sending out so many trains at a time. I know we've talked about Europa Park and how good they are at queue. Getting people on, check, send the train out. It
Yep,
just,
it just wasn't
everything's going
there.
so slowly.
And let me tell you, Europa Park opening day did not have these issues. And I wasn't there, but I made a point of seeking it out to say, okay, is this something that affects all theme parks? And it wasn't. There was none of these issues. So it was, yeah, okay, it was ongoing for you. And then we get to the Bluey opening, which we've all waited a long time for, and we've watched Bluey going up, and that ride, they've done a great job on it. It looks great. I'm still slightly confused as to why they've built a ride that, in my mind, is fairly similar to Octonauts, but I'm sure they have their reasons. And obviously, Bluey is the biggest program on kids' TV at the moment. We both have young children who both adore it. So from an
And they
IP
love
point
it,
of
yeah.
view, it makes perfect sense. And I literally got sucked into the IP hype of it because my 4-year-old begged me to take her to go and ride Bluey the ride. And I was adamant I wasn't going to go to Alton Towers until much later in the season this year. I have limited time in the UK, and I was like, I know what it's like at the moment. I'm not going. I'm just going to make myself angry, so I'm not going to go. But she really, 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 really wanted to go and do it. So I gave in, and I didn't go on opening day for Bluey because I knew that was just going to be full of enthusiasts. And And I was like, also, it might be a bit like sketchy on opening day. It might not run to, as it should. We'll go the next day instead. Which was a mistake because that was the day when Bluey didn't open until I think 4:30 in the afternoon. We waited as long as we could to try and get on it. It was a really wet, horrible day as well.
Yeah.
We were absolutely soaked through. I don't know if it's because it was raining and it's got that tire-driven lift hill, or if there was something else going on as well. There was a lot of people doing stuff in the station that day, but hey, it didn't open until after we'd gone back to the hotel. And I mean, we had that same problem where we'd gone for Bluey, that wasn't working. So we went and did everything else in CBeebies Land. She's four. And after that, I was like, okay, what now? It was raining. So we've got a long walk over to David Walliams to go and do the driving school outside in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Not ideal. We did do the carousel kind of undercover. So that was all right.
Yeah.
And we were just getting more and more soaked. And yeah, even like Heave Ho, which she'd normally love, she's just like, I don't want to go on it because it was just, it's raining and it's outside. It's not enjoyable. There's nowhere to do. She wouldn't do something like Curse and Hex. Although she's tall enough, she's just, that's too scary for her. So yeah, we were really like stuck, and we were just hanging on to try and get Bluey, see if Bluey would open. And in the end, we gave up and we did the long walk back to the hotel. And let me tell you, it is a long walk when you have a four-year-old with you and you're walking through the theme park and you're walking through Katanga Canyon and going, this looks a sorry state. And, you know, you walk past Curse and think, well, she can't go on that. And then you walk through Forbidden Valley and you're like, yep, nothing for her here either. And just you exit the park and you're like, I don't know if this is worth it anymore for the age that she is. And it is a specific problem, I think, when we've got children out who are their ages. If you're a thrill seeker, Alton Towers still offers a lot for you. But it was, I came away not feeling great that day at all. I also had like a less than satisfactory experience at customer services. And also a really bad food experience at the Lunchbox Cafe. Is that what it's called now in CBeebies?
In CBeebies,
which has always been so reliable. But it's been the one place in the park where you're like, do you know what? That'll be all right. And they've changed it in there and it was absolute chaos. And there was like 45 minute waits for chicken nuggets. So, and the staff were just, I mean, I spoke to the guy and he was clearly so stressed and so run off his feet. And he was, you know, he was like, I'm so sorry. He said, I don't know why we're so busy. We're so understaffed. We're desperate for staff. And they just couldn't do it. And then none of their set up to fail because their tills don't have the right items on them and things like that. And he was trying to process a refund and he couldn't do it because the tills didn't work. So he had to take me to the Costa Coffee at the bottom of Tower Street to go and process a refund. And I wasn't the first person that had to happen to. He'd taken so many people there that day to the point that the staff in Costa were like, what's going on over there? Like what? And then obviously we're adding to their issues because we're taking their till to go and do refunds. It was just, you just come away thinking, what is going on here? This was always the UK's premier theme park, and it feels like it's being run on a shoestring to the point where it's unfair on staff. It's definitely unfair on guests because they're not getting an experience that they deserve. And I don't know how they dig themselves out of the hole. And all they seem to do to try and dig themselves out of the hole is offer cheaper tickets. So now it's buy one day, get one free, or have an annual pass when you book a hotel, which was the offer that they did earlier in the year.
Yep.
And I don't think that's the solution. Now, even if I'm getting a buy one, get one free day, and so it's effectively cost me something like £17 to go into Alton Towers, which is ridiculous, by the way. If I've come away going, I've actually had a terrible day, it doesn't matter that it was only £17. If I've still come away thinking that wasn't good, they're in a hole. To me, they're in a hole, and I don't know how Merlin dig them out of it. And I feel sorry for the staff at Alton Towers, and I feel so sorry for even though it's an inanimate object, for Alton Towers the park, because it deserves better than
it
this.
It deserves so much better. Has so much potential. I've always said that, and there's so much potential, which we've seen through Wicker Man, Curse Alton Manor, Nemesis Reborn, the investment they put in to show that they could. I'm starting to really agree with what you've said about annual passes. Because when we got to Easter holidays, and something's wrong when your queue times are longer than Frozen Ever After at Disneyland Paris.
Ouch. Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? So I know on the first few days where Frozen Ever After was open, it was like 3 hours or whatever because it
Yeah,
just opened.
which you'd expect.
Yeah. But in the Easter holidays, when a good majority of your coasters and Bluey as well is like 2 hours long, is longer than Frozen, something's not right.
Yep.
So apart from that bank holiday weekend, Easter holidays was absolutely insane because I think you've got three annual passes now that people are using.
Yeah, and they're trying to
Now,
get
it
their
could
money's
be,
worth.
you know, I mean, it could be because obviously, like we're saying, with maintenance, rides not open till 11, that it feels busier. But I don't know if there's a cap at the minute that they're letting people into the park. I don't think there's a restriction. If you go to like Disneyland Paris, many of the days would say park is full. And so unless you've booked, you can't get in. I don't think I've seen that any of the Merlin. I'm not just talking about towers now.
Yeah.
Kessington, Thorpe, Legoland. I don't know about you, but I don't know if there's a cap at the
I have
minute.
seen, well, that I mean, there should be, and I did see, I think Chessington had sold out on one of the days, at least in the Easter holidays. What I've also heard from several people who've messaged me who are pass holders is that even though you are supposed to book as a pass holder, they have been able to just turn up, scan in, and that's not been a problem. So even on a day where it should say the park's at capacity, you could still, on top of that, have pass holders coming in. Who haven't shown as pre-booked on the system, and the system just lets them through. So there's that. The other thing that I think is interesting, and I don't know the answer to this, somebody listening probably will, is Alton Towers has a capacity, but what is that based on? Is that based on rides throughputs, or is it purely on space? Because if the capacity was, I'll just say 20,000 people, and it's always been that, but you used to have more rides per head, then even on the days where it hasn't sold out, or maybe it's not reaching capacity, those queues are going to feel longer because, like we've said, you haven't got the other attractions for people to go and stand in and then disperse the crowds. So I'd be interested to know is with as they've taken attractions out, have they also lowered their capacity or have they kept them the same?
And you have to remember, like back in the day, they did like early ride time for hotel guests and annual pass holders. So I missed that because what you had was that you'd have certain big attractions open that will have already had guests go on. So that by 10 o'clock, they would then move on to the next thing, whether it's
Yeah.
Dark Forest, like Rita 13. And then the guests coming at 10 would then go to those. So
Yeah.
you've already got a flow of guests moving around. You don't have that anymore.
None of it's great. And this episode has turned into a bit of a rant about it, but it's we always say this, it's only because we care. And I care not just about my experience, I care about every guest's experience. When we are here promoting theme parks as a great place to go, they are our hobby, they are places we love to go. I think it's only fair that we also promote the things to watch out for. And at the moment, Alton Towers has a lot of things to watch out for. And it's sad that we kind of have to frame it like that. But I am now seeing more and more non-enthusiasts on social media who've been to Alton Towers this season and said, I am not going back. We had a terrible day there. So it's not just us. It's not just enthusiasts who are noticing this now. And if you think that the general public don't notice it, they do. Like, go and take a look on TripAdvisor, go and on Trustpilot, watch some TikToks from people who are not enthusiasts and see what they're saying about Alton Towers. And they're all saying the same thing. Unprompted, they are noticing the things that we may have noticed for a long time. They also notice them now, and it's getting to the point where I literally fear for what the park is going to do in the future to try and turn this around because the investment seems to be directed elsewhere.
I do think they're focusing a lot more on the southern parks. What's coming up at Chessington? They've got, Paw Patrol open this year, and then Minecraft World opening next year. Legoland's obviously having a lot of work done to it as well. They're having the
Yeah.
whole big refurb of the entrance bit as well.
And then the replacement ride for the what was the rapids and it's yep they're getting investment. Thorpe has obviously closed their rapids and there will be something coming there. We don't know what yet, but they've only just had Hyperia. I mean, in the scheme of things, really the last true investment on Towers is Wicker Man. We're talking 8 years ago.
Brand. If we were saying brand new, because obviously we know Nemesis got retracked, but
it's just that. Yeah, that's not a new. You know, it's not something that's going to take on additional capacity. It's just replacing.
And that's 8 years ago.
And so we come on to Project Horizon, which is supposed to be Alton Towers' newest project. Should have been an indoor roller coaster. We would have fully expected work to have started by now. It's gone very quiet. There are occasional updates which still go through Staffordshire Mall and planning, which suggests that there is still someone doing some work in the background to get this away. But I think we are fast approaching the date by which the planning permission said construction had to have started. There's not.
And
really
if not, then they have to go through the whole process again.
Exactly. So are we going to see it or not? Is it? Are we going to get something new? And if we do, what's it? Is it just going to be a ride, or are we going to see the whole of that end of the park? So that if you don't know, Project Horizon is going near Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Cloud Cuckoo Land. It's kind of behind that area. That whole area is such an unloved area of the park at the moment.
Yeah.
What a shame it will be if it didn't all come under one umbrella for development. And I think actually if they did, if they somehow found some pennies down the back of the sofa that they thought they need to go to Alton Towers, and they were like, we'll do Horizon, but we'll also do something with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, that ride system at least, and we'll do something with the world of David Walliams, because let's be honest, that needs something doing
well,
to it.
Definitely. I'm going to just do a shout out to the Mac family, if they're listening. if you'd like to invest in a theme park that you could... You know, that's got so much potential. Because again, we're talking about the park.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Nothing against the park, I mean, it's how it's being run. But
if, like
imagine
it.
If they had the Europa way of running things.
I know, and it's the dream, and I don't know how much of a pipe dream it is. But then, you know, it's got the bones of a fantastic theme park, and it still is a lovely place to go. And you will get enthusiasts who say, well, I didn't go and ride anything today. I just went up to go and see my mates and hang around, and we had a great day, and that's absolutely fine. And I don't doubt that you did have a good day, but the problem is that's not what the majority of guests are going to go and do. They don't want to go to Alton Towers to go and have a wander around and a cup of coffee. They want to get on rides. They want to get on attractions. They're probably not going to be back for at least a year. And when their experience doesn't meet that, then you're going to get angry customers.
Yeah, and the cracks are just showing now. I think that's, for me, that's what I've seen.
Finally,
from opening day onwards.
Yeah,
is that there has been so much trying to cover up things they've been trying to do behind the scenes, and now it's just come to the forefront, unfortunately. Yeah. And it just doesn't look great. When it makes me really sad to do that, because it's somewhere that's always been my second home.
Yeah. Was there anything in particular that like pushed you over the edge? Where you're like, oh, this is not Alton Towers.
I think just like we've said, like walking around and just seeing things that are neglected, or that it looks neglected, and like things that should just be running. Katanga Canyon is just really sad.
Oh, it's awful.
Walking through that bit where you've got two, like I said, two family attractions that just aren't there. Like you could open the rapids. I know it's cold, but we live in the UK. It's like we've talked about water rides. Why? It's a sad that Thorpe Park's getting rid of a rapids. You know, obviously we've got Hyperia over a log flume, but like, crikey, it's like we still like them.
But you don't
just
even get
cold.
That wet on
no,
the
Congo
River Rapids. And
no.
The whole argument about no one wants to ride water rides in winter. Okay, kind of get it. Europa Park run their log flume all winter, but okay. But you don't get that wet on them. It's not... And then obviously at Easter you had these beautiful like few days of balmy sunshine.
Yeah.
And everyone's just looking at the empty trough of the rapids going, oh, that would be lovely today.
I know.
But
I know.
I think it is. It's the visual of how that looks. And when I was walking through Katanga Canyon, it did cross my mind. And I thought, what would John Wardley think if he came and walked through here right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I can only imagine that his heart would break at the state of it. It's not good. Like, by the way, has anyone heard what is happening with the runaway mine train? Because that it was just out of the blue. It's like, it's not going to open.
I think they're just not paying for maintenance.
Yeah.
Because if they did, it'd be fixed by now. Monorail would be fixed it would be operating because they would have done it in closed season.
Throw
That's
enough money
literally
at
what they would have
something.
done. They had, if they'd done it, they would have done it at the right time. They should do it, and then it just opens, and then everyone's happy and fine. So I think for me, that's what really has irritated me.
Okay. Well, look, for us, for even for Kevin, I never thought the day would come. Alton Towers is severely, if it's not lost the magic, it's severely lacking in the magic this year so far. We are still only a couple of months into the season. There is still time to redeem itself. If we can get the Runaway Mine Train operating, we know that the water rides are coming back in May.
I bet the waterfalls won't be working.
Oh, probably not.
They'll
Probably not.
open it and the waterfalls will be like, yes, they will be ready in June.
The monorail is testing. If it's not open by the time this episode goes out, well, fingers crossed that'll be open very soon. So there are small improvements to come, but still, we're talking about May by the time these things happen, and the water rides are going to close again in September. It's a very small window of opportunity to have a full ride lineup, and we also know that once you get into June, school trip season, summer holidays, that park is going to be at capacity if the Easter holidays are anything to go by. It's going to be a challenging year at Alton Towers for most dates, I would have said this year. So if you've got your Merlin annual pass and you thought, amazing, I've picked that up nice and cheap, like absolutely, you've got a bargain. I would just say be prepared for the outcome of that to be lots of people in your position who are also thinking, great, let's go to Alton Towers because we've got a cheap pass. And the ride lineup and capacity just, I don't think, is quite there. I say
No,
quite there. It's
it's
anywhere
not.
close.
But at least Curse, well, I said at the beginning, at least Curse Old Manor is running really well.
And if there's
So.
anyone who's going to notice a tiny effect not working in Curse of Alt Manor, it's going to be Kev. So high praise indeed that you said the
And
name.
also, if you want to get on a ride you don't have to queue for, there's never a queue. Its throughput is just incredible. So.
I did see over the Easter holidays at one point, I think it was on a 30-minute queue, and I was like, wow,
You know it was busy
that's a
then.
busy day. If Curse has got a 30-minute queue, then yeah, Alton Towers is packed
I was
out.
loving it because I can actually queue through the extended queue line because they never open that
Oh
bit. You can actually go through the graveyard because they always
yeah.
close it off
Well,
when it's
there
like
you
5 minutes.
go.
No, I want to go around and explore.
Every cloud, you might have to queue, but you do get to see parts of the queue line that you wouldn't normally see. So, hey. Right, let us know. Have we been too negative about the state of Alton Towers? We do it from a place of love. I will repeat that till I'm blue in the face every time we do one of these episodes. But I think it would be wrong to not talk about our experiences, and these are our experiences. They're our true experiences of the park so far this season. If we go and have a fantastic day, then obviously we'll report back on that as well. But this is where we are right now. Have you experienced similar? Where do you think Alton Towers goes from here? Do we need to see Project Horizon get some spades in the ground, or is it time to start
Yes,
thinking about
please.
something else? Let us know what you think. You can message us via the podcast, you can leave a comment, you can find me on social media, just search Beck's Parkcast, and let me know what you think. For now, though, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.